the sunset, O blissful morning, when with our Savior heaven is begun. Earth's toiling ended, O glorious dawning beyond the sunset, when day is done. Beyond the sunset, a hand will guide me to God the Father, whom I adore. His glorious presence, His words of welcome will be my portion on that fair shore. Beyond the sunset, no clouds will gather, no storm will threaten, no fears an awe. O day of gladness, O day unending, beyond the sunset, eternal day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord Himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He fain would bear and cheer me, He whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of His child and treasure is a charge that on Himself He laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me He made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when grief and trouble meeting, to take as from a father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. Till I reach the promised land. Till I reach the promised land.
Heed not the rolling wave, but bend to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore. Trust in the lifeboat, sailor, all else will fail. Stronger the surges dash and fiercer the gale. Heed not the stormy winds, though loudly they roar. Watch the bright and morning star and pull for the shore. Pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but stand to the oar. Safe in the lifeboat, sailor, cling to self no more. Leave the poor old stranded wreck and pull for the shore. Gleams the morning, sailor, uplift the eye. Thousand darkness disappearing, glory is nigh. Save in the lifeboat, sailor, sing evermore. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Pull for the shore, pull for the shore, sailor, pull for the shore. Heed not the rolling waves, but bend to the oar. Save in the lifeboat, sailor,
all right, amen. Pull for the shore. Hope you're all doing well here today. I am coming on a little bit early here because one of my daughters is having a birthday today, and I'm going to be spending the day at a park somewhere and spending the day outside and kind of having a good time. So with the family and everything, so just going to come on early here and do some digging around here of some of the things that are going on right now in our crazy mixed up psychopath world that we are in right now. And crazy times we live in, for sure. And, you know, it's important to cover a lot of these current events to be able to have a biblical perspective on them, because at times we probably seem insane to people. As we hold to what we do, when we look at this world, we look at it as absolutely crazy. It always has been. It's always been antichrist. It's always, that's the way the world is. However, here's what you have to understand. I want you to think a little deeper than surface. That's the problem. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in things that we become, you know, that we can't think a little bit deeper about what's going on here. And the one thing that I'm going to start out with is this whole thing called mansplaining or whatever, which is so stupid. It's just absolutely dumb. But that's all right. I want to explain it to you from a biblical perspective. Now, you have to understand something. When I explain this to you, I'm not defending people here. I'm defending a narrative here. I'm explaining a narrative. So, that's the important thing for you to understand, is that there's a narrative being explained here. And it has nothing to do with the characters that are involved, really. What it has to do with is the situation that we're in. See, this is an attack on biblical manhood. It's an attack on manhood, and Tucker Carlson, he picks up on it here, which I think is interesting. And, you know, he picks up on this, what they're doing here. Now, I want to tell you something that you have to understand. The Bible, when you leave the plain path of duty, when you leave, by the way, that confusion is 26 times in the King James Bible. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches. Now, when they destroy the sexes, when they destroy the order of the sexes, the Bible says that all those things, they wrought confusion. They bring confusion in. Satan loves to bring confusion. It's like that video. I'll show you. It's like this video right here. This video is so confusing from a standpoint of trying to say he or she and all that stuff. It's confusing to try to explain it. Because this is actually a he, this is a she, this is actually a he. But when you're trying to explain it, you're trying to keep track of it in your head and you can't. Why is that? Because there's devils involved. See, the devil wants to confuse you. He is that author of confusion, and his desire is to confuse you. The Bible talks about the sexual perversion of the land. It talks about bestiality. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Right? It's confusion. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Incest wroughts confusion. Sexuality at a young age wroughts confusion in the mind. That's what it does. And that's what Satan's main operation is. Man, this might go in a different direction than I had planned, but that's okay. That's all right. That's quite all right. Let me give you an example, okay? Let me give you an example. Okay? There's confusion that is wrought. Here's a good example. Oops, no, that's not where I want to go. This is confusion. That's what this is. Why is this confusion? I'll show you why. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her? It's confusion. That's what it's designed to do. That's what Satan wants to do. That's his number one attack. Right? Confusion. That's confusion. Right? That's what it is. It's meant to cause confusion. That's confusion. Baphomet. Confusion. That's the goal of Satan. So, when you see the sexual sins and the perversion and all those things, the Bible says that is confusion. God says don't do that. Don't do that. Don't. So, with the order of the sexes, they don't want you to have one. And everything that they do for equality is to destroy God's order. To confuse the masses. This morning I saw something and I wasn't even planning, well, I thought about talking about it, but then I just kind of filed it away, but this is the way the Lord's leading. Let me see if I can find it here. I always like going after Beth Moore, so I always check what she's up to. Jezebel watch. But this would be Oreo. I want to see if I can find this. Yep, here it is right here. I want to show you this.
Hey. You okay? I'm good.
Now, here's the emotional plea. Right? Proud parent. I thought they already had gay month, but I guess they got another gay month. So now Oreo used to be like just black and white, and now it's like gay. So they're turning the Oreos gay! They turned the Oreos gay!
Here.
Look at you.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, baby.
Mom, this is Amy.
Oh, hey. Hi, Amy.
Hey, Dad.
Hey. Hey, so it's always the dude that's got, you know, the dude's got a problem. He's just kind of looking at it. He doesn't like it. Oh, time to steal that guy's manhood and make everybody look like a cave. Make every white man in America, or make every man in America that's not happy with, that's traditional, make him look like a bunch of cave monkeys.
Hey, I'm Amy. Nice to meet you.
Are you hungry?
Yes.
Come on.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I'm telling you, this whole video is full of confusion. It's full of confusion. Oh, they just feel bad. You know, they feel so bad because they're so mistreated. This whole video is nothing but a bunch of confusion. That's what it is. It's designed for that.
Oh.
Hi. You just wanted my help, I know.
Look, everybody's just so happy. They're all just so happy. Everybody's just so happy. What in the world does this have to do with a stinking cookie? So now it's like NFL football, right? I don't watch any of it because it's all wicked as hell. But listen, it's like football, right? You go to football, they're gonna see all they're doing is indoctrinating you now. All they're doing is indoctrinating you openly now. They're saying, we got you suckers, and we know you're gonna watch our stuff. So, we're gonna preach to you while we do it. But then you know what's funny? We'll get back to that video, but you know what's funny? Then I'll have people tell me, well, those signs you use don't work. I don't know why you use those preaching signs and those banners. They don't work. None of that stuff really works. Well, these guys know it works. These guys use everything. So they use the emotional plea. You like cookies. You like homos. You like cookies. You like homos. You like cookies. You like lesbians. You like cookies. You like homos. See how it works? And bad white dude. Bad old white dude that likes, that believes traditional Bible. But they're going to flip him. Don't worry, they're going to convert the bad white dude. They're going to convert the evil dude. They're going to do that. Through an emotional plea, they're going to do it. Telling you what, man, they're going to do it.
You're the cutest
this
little
is enough.
Oh, it's just great.
Night.
Good night.
Oh, that's nice and gross and disgusting. Isn't it? Don't worry, I'm not going to show it. I'm going through it.
God.
Oh, isn't this wonderful?
Did I do it right? I love you.
Oh, I love you. That means I accept any wicked sin that you could imagine. If you brought home a monkey and wanted to marry it, I would accept it because I love you. Right? Pretty soon it'll be if I wanted to marry a 5-year-old, I'll accept it. Right? That's why. That's there you go. That's it. You see how they did that? That's an Oreo commercial. See? See it? Yeah, they forgot to cover the STDs. They forgot to cover that the average homosexual has nearly 500 partners. You like cookies. You like Oreos. You like LGBTQ. You like cookies. You like Oreos. You see the confusion? You see what they do? You see how it works? They really did turn the cookies gay. They turned the Oreos gay. They did that. Look, you gotta have some mad devils in your brain to turn Oreo cookies gay. I mean, you gotta have something wrong with you when you turn cookies gay. But what is it? All part of the confusion, kids. All part of it. See, can I give you a simpler lesson? Right now, if you're not obeying the Lord, if you're not following God, if you know to do right, and you don't do right, don't marvel when you become confused and you're like, "How did I get here?" I'm not talking about being a sodomite. I'm talking about in your Christian life. Because when you leave the simplicity of Christ, everything gets confusing. That's what it is. Right? That's what it is. Confusion. And you'll go through the same confusion too. Maybe not sodomite confusion like that they're trying to push. But when you leave the will of God, you're going to get confused. Things don't become clear. Right? We don't know. Well, Terry Whitley, I'm not surprised because the CCM culture has the same spirit as rock music, which is that Baphomet spirit. So, remember, it's all about confusion. You're made to look bad. You're made to look like you're just the crazy white dude in the room, or black dude, whatever color you are. But you're made to look like that. You're the crazy fundamentalist. You're the crazy because you just don't follow the insanity. Right? That's what they're teaching. And they're doing it through mind manipulation. It's a form of mind control is what it is. What they're doing, the confusion that they're causing is a form of mind control. Now, this mansplaining thing and this court packing thing, I'm going to try to find it. I don't remember where exactly it is, but I'll skim through it until I get to the part that I'm really wanting to focus on. And then we'll get into a bunch of other things today. But it's just going to show you exactly where we're at. Like, this is programming. Like, a man's not allowed to be a man anymore. Because if he acts like a man, well, then you're just mansplaining or you're not. Well, let me say this. I'm probably guilty of mansplaining, I'm sure. And I'm not ashamed of it. And I don't really care if it bothers anybody. I don't care if it makes anybody mad.
VP debate last night. If you saw it, you've got to think the Biden people are beginning to regret picking Kamala Harris for this.
Somehow you win this election, going to pack the Supreme Court to get your way.
Joe and I are very clear. The American people are voting right now, and it should be their decision about who will serve on this most important body for a lifetime.
Thank you, Senator Harris.
People, Susan, are voting right now. They'd like to know if you and Joe Biden are going to pack the Supreme Court if you don't get your way in this nomination.
Yeah, let's talk about packing the court then. Let's talk about the fact. Yeah, I'm about to. And do you know that of the 50 people who President Trump appointed to the Court of Appeals for lifetime appointments, not one is black? This is what they've been doing. You want to talk about packing a court? Let's have that discussion.
Wait a minute, you might ask. What does court packing have to do with the number of black judges on the federal circuit courts of appeals? Those seem like completely unrelated. See, it's racist.
By the way, she's a little witch is what she is, and she's very good at what she does.
That Has any presidential candidate in history ever used it's a racist procedure? Any Senate procedure that limits the power of the Democratic Party is, by definition, racist. That's the new standard. Identity politics is the most powerful political weapon they have. Don't take it at face value. There's a purpose. Honestly, we'd like to know. If you know, tell us. She seems like the most secular candidate ever to run for national office. That's not an attack on her, by the way. Plenty of decent secular people. But it's true. Not that truth matters in this case. For the purposes of last night's debate, Kamala Harris identified as a person of faith, and that's all that matters. The progressive left understands race and gender and, yes, religious faith as means to an end. They're identities. They don't have independent meanings. They are tools used to win arguments and achieve power. Kamala Harris cycled through various identities last night. "I'm speaking," she barked again and again when Mike Pence tried to respond to her. In other words, "I'm a woman. That's why you're interrupting me."
The vice president said, when asked, "Well, why didn't y'all tell anybody?" He said, "Because the president wanted people to remain calm."
Well, let's get
No, but Susan, this is important. I want to ask, if Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. Joe Biden has been very clear. He will not raise taxes on anybody who makes less than $400,000 a year.
He's going to repeal the Trump tax cuts.
Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking.
I'm speaking. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I supposed to bow down and kiss your feet because you're a woman? Like, I'm supposed to just, like, stop being a man, and I'm supposed to just let you walk all over me. But then again, I'm not supposed to treat you any different, because you know how two guys treat each other for the most part? When it comes to things like this, they're going to interrupt each other. They're going to interject. Do you see how they play this confusing little game with you? Like, okay, am I supposed to say this is a man? Am I supposed to say this is a woman? Am I supposed to talk to you this way? Am I supposed to talk to you that way? Am I supposed to do this? It's like, it's witchcraft. She's doing what Jezebel did. See, Jezebel accused people of what she was guilty of. She was the king of Israel's wife. And she was a witch. So she got together with others, and she found two false witnesses to accuse Naboth of blaspheming God and worshiping Baal. Well, that's what she did. That's who she was. That's how manipulators work. They always play the innocent victims when they're the one attacking people. When they're the one not living up to responsibilities. I'm going to tell you what, women are masters at it, many of them. Many women are absolute masters at manipulating. As a pastor, I've watched women do it. I've watched women manipulate through authorities to get what they want. And she's manipulating here. She's projecting who she really is. Only she's projecting it on him. And then all of a sudden, this guy, he's the bad guy in that sense.
I'm speaking. I'm so glad we went through a little history lesson. Let's do that.
You see how condescending she is? I'm sorry, but when women are condescending to me like that, I throw it right back in their face. I don't let them do that to me. I don't. When they talk to me that way, when they do that, I do not let them do that to me. I don't. Or men, by the way. Right? But they like to do it. It's their manipulating way to do that. Like how she's talking to him is like belittling. And I gotta tell you, he's definitely not a lot nicer than Trump would have been, because when you go back and you see Trump versus Hillary, Trump, he nailed her.
A little more. In 1864...
Well, I'd like you to answer the question.
Mr. Yes. Vice President, I'm speaking. I'm speaking.
Okay. I'm speaking, okay? Okay, I'm speaking. That is so stinking fake. It's so fake. Instead of having a shirt that said, Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking, she should have said, my name is Jezebel, and I'm speaking. Look at Tucker's face. He's so ticked off by it. And I don't blame him. Because it is cringeworthy. It makes me cringe for a woman to... And I'm not like part of that group that wants to be politically correct, even in fundamental churches. If you talk that way to me, if you do that, I'm gonna let you know you're doing it. Like, I'm just not gonna overlook that.
Democrats thought that was appealing. What world do they live in? They must have, because already you can find T-shirts and mugs online with the phrase, I'm speaking. Obviously, it was planned. Kamala Harris's many allies in the media were impressed, too. They knew exactly what Kamala Harris was really saying. I'm a woman. And they were unanimous in their conclusion. Mike Pence, who's been married to the same woman for 35 years, interrupted Kamala Harris because he's a sexist who hates women.
Right. Has nothing to do with the fact that she's a lying little Jezebel. Right? And that's the attitude that she has, and that's the way she deals with people. But it's the fact that she's a woman, and well, I'll be honest with you, and you can take it for whatever you want. Ladies, it never works out for you to get into arguments with men. This is a perfect example that, yeah, you can do some witchy poo stuff if you want to try to make that man look bad. But I'm going to tell you what, it's never a good idea for you to argue with men. It's never a good idea to put yourself in this type of position, ever. It isn't.
She was not overly assertive throughout this entire debate.
Well, Pence was.
Pence was
a mansplainer in chief.
Pence was a mansplainer in chief. Really? Why? Because she's a woman and he disagreed with her? See, I have no problem. If you want to get me a badge that says that, I have mansplainer in chief. I really don't. Like, it won't bother me. They twist things up. But I don't really care. Because what these guys are doing up on that stage is trying to destroy manhood. That's really what they're doing. That's their whole goal.
Mike Mansplainer all night.
I understand that.
He repeatedly interrupted her. He demanded, well, he also repeatedly interrupted the other woman in the room, which is...
Oh, well, you put two women up against him so he can interrupt women. Well, I interrupt women all the time like that. Oh, how dare you interrupt a woman? Wait a minute. I thought we were all equal and it didn't matter and we were all the same. So there is no order of the sexes. There is no advantage to either side. We're all just the same. Do you see how the confusion is there? They want you to be confused like that. They want you to be confused. So you don't know how to act around them. So you're running around frantic trying to figure out, how do I relate to these people? How do I speak to them? I have to follow all their rules. I have to do this and that. I'm not following any of you. I'm following the Bible. And that's the way that these people are trained.
I
the moderator, who seemed to at some point lose control of him.
You have a reporter and a woman candidate, and both of them you're interrupting, both of them you're attacking. Not a good sign.
I didn't see where he attacked anybody in that whole thing. I didn't see how there was an attack of anything there. I see a guy calmly speaking and not even getting excited.
But I think a lot of people were noticing some mansplaining going on tonight.
He kept interrupting his moderator, a woman, and his opponent, a woman. Some may feel that that showed lack of respect.
Well,
now, wait a minute. I thought we didn't have any respect for the other side like that. I thought it was, like, equal, and there was, like, how did that happen? Like, I thought, oh, so you don't want equality. You actually want a special class. Where I have to drop my manhood and not be a man and act like whatever it is you're okay with. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, right.
Let me start with Pence. He was patronizing, which drove all the women crazy.
Mike Pence, who was...
Really, he was patronizing? Do you see how this is witchcraft? Because he wasn't patronizing. She was the one that was like, Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking. Loser. Hey, loser. Hey, loser white guy over there in the chair. Hey, loser, I'm speaking. Okay, I'm speaking, okay? I don't need to be lectured by you, okay? Loser. That's how she was talking to him the whole time. That's how she was speaking.
It was mostly polite, but did interrupt and did do the guy thing of demand.
It did do the guy thing, showed that he had like 1 ounce of testosterone left in him that they haven't sucked away and tried to destroy, right? So. He actually did have some manhood left to him, and he actually spoke like a man. And we haven't beat that out of him yet. We're working on it in all of society. So men can't be men. That we're working on it. We're doing our best.
Demanding and getting more time to speak than the woman.
Oh. So as a scientific matter, the category women doesn't really exist. Neither does the category men, because gender fluidity is real. You can choose your gender. But women are also simultaneously so different from men that you have to treat them in a completely different way or you're a bad person. Are you following this? And if you do that, you're mansplaining. That's what they told us on TV last night. What kind of adult uses the term mansplaining?
Exactly. How stupid is that anyway? It just sounds completely and utterly foolish.
Get some self-respect. And by the way, think it through. Why did no one accuse Donald Trump or Joe Biden of mansplaining when they repeatedly interrupted each other at last week's debate? Whatever. When a man interrupts a woman, it must be sexism. There's no other explanation. In order to treat women equally, we have to treat them very differently from men so as not to disturb their delicate sensibilities. It's insane. And if the consequences for this country weren't so serious, it would be amusing. But they don't even follow their own rules, which makes sense because their rules are incoherent. Last night, the same people who denounced Pence as a sexist went on at length about Kamala Harris's charming, girlish smile.
Kamala Harris, with a smile, pushed back on Mike Pence's repeated talking over time and interrupting her.
So did you notice the smile that was on her face all the time? When she, and that's hard when you're getting interrupted constantly.
Every shot, Kamala Harris, when she's looking at him, would smile. She had a smile on her face far more than Pence ever had a smile on his face.
Kamala, on the other hand, she was strong, she was in command, and she had a hint of joy. You sense that there is joyfulness in her spirit.
Really? Because I sense, like, absolute Jezebel. I don't sense a lot of joy. I sense, like, Jezebel.
Obviously, these are partisans. Obviously, these are people who are projecting their own sad, empty, hollow personal lives onto the rest of the country. No matter what they're doing, though, it's just too stupid for a great nation. At one point during the debate, Mike Pence, to his credit, tried to elevate it a little bit, talk about something that actually matters, the habit we've all fallen into of thinking of each other as members of categories rather than as human beings and as individuals, as creations of God. That's how people of faith think, by the way, Senator Harris. Whatever they're calling this kind of thinking right now, intersectionalism, identity politics, critical race theory, systemic racism, whatever, it's terrible. It's a cul-de-sac. It will wreck the country. So Mike Pence tried to make that point. No, he said last night, the police aren't systemically racist, whatever that is. It's a fundamentally good country. Now, that's a conversation that would be worth having. That would be edifying. That does mean something. But the media ignored it. They spent most of the night talking about a housefly that landed on Mike Pence's forehead.
At one point when they were talking about systemic racism, I think it's very interesting timing that a fly would land on Mike Pence's head at that point.
How retarded is that? How absolutely foolish is that? That you bring up a fly that lands on somebody's head and act like that's some kind of sign or omen of something. It's just really how dumb we've gotten.
Particular time when he said that there really wasn't systemic racism, I saw the fly basically go and say, what? I mean, it was very interesting.
It was very interesting. What you have here, what you have so often, is yet another unhappy rich lady complaining about oppression. No wonder the American population is so desperately unhappy. Look.
That, like Jezebel, slept her way to the top, by the way. That's where she came from. She slept her way to the top. That's how she got where she is today. All right, anyway, so gives you a good understanding of the gender confusion that goes on in our world today and the absolute confusion that is going on in our world today. It helps you to understand what spirit all of it's of. And I'm telling you, one of the saddest things ever is that more churches are not preaching on the order of the sexes when they're watching them be destroyed in front of their eyes. Biblical manhood is being trampled on. Biblical womanhood is being trampled on. It's morphing into a Baphomet confusion mess. Is it any wonder that we see the children that have been raised in the last 25 years? Is it any wonder that we've watched? Is it any wonder that we've watched the demise of biblical manhood and womanhood, and we've watched the confusion that has come from the children that are growing up, even in so-called evangelical homes, that, like, a large, very large percentage of them do not believe in a biblical worldview. Because their fathers and their mothers are nowhere to be around. Their mothers especially are out of the home. They grow up without natural affection. they're left to themselves. They bring their mother to shame. Yep. Lots of things. More COVID news. Let's talk COVID here. We haven't really dealt with COVID for a while. Let's talk some COVID news. How about this? Bethel Church shuts down their school of supernatural ministry due to COVID fears again. So the kooky charismatics, the kooky COVID charismatics, right? They have decided to, in the interest of safety, they must shut down their school of healing. Does that at all make anybody wonder about anything? Wait, you're going to shut down your school of healing? Bill Johnson, the founder, does God cause sickness? I refuse to create a theology that allows for sickness. You can only give away what you have. Can God give away sickness? No, he's not sick. You can't give cancer if you don't have it. Does God ever choose not to heal? No. Well, that's kind of weird. The school is designed to equip students to minister, not just to minister in the gifts of the Spirit, but to live a supernatural lifestyle. You experience life-changing revelation about yourself and the world around you as you become aware of the kingdom within you and are encouraged to be naturally, supernaturally, by bringing heaven to earth wherever you go. We believe Jesus meant it when he taught us to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Rather than healing the students with coronavirus, however, Bethel Church has demonstrated they are unable to rise to the supernatural occasion, choosing instead to quarantine whole classes with nary a supernatural shake of their little finger to be seen. Lest one ask why Bethel doesn't send these poor sick folks to visit the healing houses and healing rooms that they've had set up across the city where people can come and get supernaturally healed from cancer, short legs, bad backs, deafness, leukemia, unspecified foot pain, and a host of other physical maladies. The healing rooms have been shut down for nearly 8 months due to fear of catching COVID. Oh. Well, that's weird. That's weird, isn't it? Why in the world would they do that? Why in the world would they shut down their healing schools? They're healing rooms. It's almost like it's not real. It's almost like they don't really heal people. Kind of strange, ain't it? Kind of strange that they wouldn't be able to do that. Who could forget this classic?
Well, listen, partners.
Listen,
we don't
here.
Have a flu season.
No.
We've got a duck season, a deer season, but we don't have a flu season.
Huh.
And don't receive it when somebody threatens you with everybody's getting the flu. We've already had our shot. He bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. That's what we stand on. And by his stripes, we were healed. If you've already got the flu, I'm going to pray for you right now.
Wait a minute. You see the confusion I was telling you about? Well, if you already got the flu, I'm going to pray for you right now. Wait a minute. I thought nobody was going to get the flu. I thought they were all... Wait, what happened? I'm confused!
Now, Father, I pray for every person that has symptoms of flu. I'm asking you, Lord, by your supernatural power, to heal them now from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Flu, I bind you off of the people.
Flu, I bind you!
Flu, I bind you off of the people. Flu, I bind you off of their feet. Flu, I bind you off of the people in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself gave us the flu shot. He redeemed us from the curse of flu. And we receive it and we take it and we are healed by his stripes. Amen. You know, the Bible says he himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And by his stripes, we were healed. When we were healed, we are healed.
When we were healed, we are healed. That's how that works. What's the matter with you?
So get on the Word, stay on the Word, and if you say, well, I don't have any symptoms of the flu, well, great, that's the way it's supposed to be. Just keep saying that, I'll never have the flu. I'll never have the flu.
You just keep telling yourself that, and when you get the flu and you got like 108 degree temperature, just keep saying, I ain't got none of them symptoms. Flu, I bind you.
Words. Inoculate yourself with the Word of God. He himself bore my sicknesses, carried my diseases, and by his stripes, I was healed. I am healed. And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, man, is she ever a stinking witch. See, these are the real witches that I try to tell you about. These are the ones. They're witches. They're the ones that you're looking for, the pointy hats and all the other. These are the witches. And a lot of them do practice witchcraft, by the way. They do. They do practice witchcraft. This is witchcraft. What this guy's doing here. That's witchcraft. Mm-hmm. Sure is. Okay, more COVID news. Let's see. This one I thought was very interesting. This is the beast attacking again. This is him blaming churches and synagogues, religious people. They're the reason why... They're the reason why COVID is spread. Not the streets where all the thousands of people were burning down the cities.
We know religious institutions have been a problem. We know mass gatherings are the super spreader events. We know there have been mass gatherings going on in concert with religious institutions in these communities for weeks. 4 weeks. I don't mean little violations. You're only supposed to have 50. They had 55. I'm talking about you're only supposed to have 50 outdoors. They had 1,000. These are pictures from the past couple of weeks. And these are just emblematic. You've all seen pictures like this for weeks. What did you think was going to happen?
What did you think was going to happen, you stupid losers?
Why do you think Mayor de Blasio has not been able to pull the trigger on enforcing these things?
You'd have to ask the mayor.
But I'm asking you.
I know you are asking me, and that's why I am saying you have to ask the mayor.
He's such a New York jerk, man. They're such jerks. They are just plain jerks. So this is Cuomo. And what Cuomo is doing here is... he's basically, what he's going to tell you is that you're going to, these religious people are going to do what they're told.
Look, I think it's not just a New York City issue. It's local governments, plus or minus. Some are very aggressive, by the way, and do a great job. But some have been very reluctant. And... that's why I had to do the bar and restaurant task force. I mean, how many times did you sit here and I saw the skepticism in your face when you'd say, here he goes again with his bar and restaurant rant. But yes, how many weeks did we say, look at the crowds?
It's like he's like talking to us like we're children and that, you know, we're just a bunch of kids and we got to do what he says.
Look at the pictures. Look at all the young people in front of the bar. Do something. They did nothing. Part of it is the environment, you know. The NYPD, tension with the community. Do they want to engage in this kind of activity? Then you go to, the mayor's been using the sheriff. The sheriff's office is 150 people. What do you think 150 people are going to do? I mean, it's just not enough. And then you have the political overlay. You're dealing with government saying to religions, you shouldn't have more than X people in your church or your mosque or your temple. That's a politically uncomfortable situation. You know, I have to say to the Orthodox community tomorrow, if you're not willing to live with these rules, then I'm going to close the synagogues.
We'll see how that works for you. Right? We'll see how that works for him.
I have had a 30-year relationship with the Orthodox community. It goes back to my father. I have a very close personal relationship with them. This is the last thing I want to do. Forget the politics. I don't care about that anymore. Personally, I don't want to have this conversation. It's a different...
You're such a liar. He is such an overreaching, demonic psychopath. And he ain't going to go to no mosque and tell Muslims to do anything. But he will go to Orthodox Jews, and he will go to churches, and he will tell them what to do.
Difficult conversation. And you're right on the line of government intrusion on religion. So it's hard. I didn't want to close down 1,000 bars, put people out of work. You know, it's hard. But I know in New York City's case, 26 enforcement actions? That, with this rampant, ongoing violation, you think 26 enforcement actions was going to stop it? No.
So Governor Hayes, the state is going to oversee the enforcement with local personnel. What does that mean, and why is it going to be different than what you just described?
I would have what we did with...
Watch what he says here. He said, I'm going to use the health department, and the health department, we're going to deputize them, and then we're going to stand outside their churches, and if they don't have the right number that they're supposed to have, we're going to tell them, and if they give us any problem, then we're going to call the sheriff, and the sheriff's going to come over, and he's going to shut them down.
The bars and the restaurants is I used state personnel from all across the state, and it was run by the state police and the SLA. Here we'll have a task force put together, run by the Department of Health and the state police. And local governments will need to assign people to that task force who are supervised by that task force, deputized by that task force to give out state summonses. As directed by the supervisors of that task force, right? So you can be a Nassau County Department of Health official. You are assigned to the task force. I'm the state person running the task force. I say you're going to be stationed in front of St. Peter's Church. The capacity is 150. You stand at the front door. When they go over 75, you close the door and call me. And if you have any problem, the state police officer is down the block. And
well, we'd have a real problem. Because when you go to shut the doors that don't belong to you, yeah, you're going to have a big problem. That's where you start having a big problem. You bet you do. There's a big problem there. But he said, oh, we'll just shut the doors. The health department. Really?
He'll come help you. That's your job. You are from the Department of Health, but you are assigned, Nassau County, but you're assigned to a state task force.
So the state is telling the local officials where to be.
Say it one more time, I'm sorry.
The state is telling the local officials where to be.
No, the state is determining where to be, primarily based on the hotspot clusters, right? Here in New York City, we knew where the problems were. We knew it. So we're all looking at the same areas because we all have the same data on the zip codes and the communities. We just haven't been aggressive enough on the enforcement. And I said from day one, blame me. I'm willing to do the enforcement. I have a different political perspective. I think it's kind and right and responsible as opposed to harsh and I'm going to make enemies. And the state task force.
You see how absolutely deluded this man is? He actually thinks this is going to work out good for him by doing this. Wow.
Is going to do it, but I don't have enough people. I don't have enough personnel. So I need them to assign me personnel.
I'm just wondering, if the locals didn't do it before, what makes you think they're going to do it now?
Oh, because they're not doing it in their name. It's my name that they're doing it in.
You see the pride and the arrogancy? It's my name they're doing it in. My authority, my name.
And that makes all the difference.
That's going to make the difference.
Oh, yes, because there's no political recriminations to them. You know, I'm going to say to the Orthodox community tomorrow, if you don't agree, then we will have to close down your religious institutions. I'm going to have to say that to the black ministers. That's not a comfortable conversation.
That's not a comfortable conversation. I don't think it's going to work that well for you. I don't think it will. Let's see here. Here's an interesting one that I think we all should think about very closely. This was found in the Orlando Sentinel, and it was featured on YouTube, or excuse me, on the Sermon Audio. And this is interesting. Enoch, why are you so obsessed with Pentecostals and visions and all these other things? Why are you so obsessed with it? Okay, no mask, no custody. COVID is a new factor in family law. Hey, check this out. Melanie Joseph wants to see her son, but a judge won't let her for no reason except that she won't wear a mask. Joseph's 14-year-old son has asthma, a condition that could put him at risk of contracting COVID-19 during this pandemic court filing show. Broward Circuit Judge Dale Cohen called the mother an anti-mask person who had the audacity to brag about it on Facebook. Conservatives take issue with the decision, but it illustrates how judges in family court now must consider the health risks of COVID-19 on top of juggling the interests of feuding ex-spouses, single parents, and reluctant child support payers. An appeals court quickly overturned the decision. The child's estranged parents eventually resolved their custody disagreement. The doctor's attorney, Stephen Nolman, conceded that judges face a challenge when balancing parental rights and health concerns. There are so many unknowns with this disease, he said, making the right decision is not easy. Other cases followed across the country, most involving at least one parent working on the front lines of the crisis. An Orlando woman didn't want her ex-husband, a firefighter newly engaged to an emergency room nurse, to share custody of their son. The judge sided with the father, and in the Deerfield Beach case in April, a dermatologist had to fight for visitation with his 6-year-old son. Broward Chief Administrative Judge Jack Tudor said he expects COVID-19 to come up in family cases for the foreseeable future. You might have one parent who's casual about the risk and the other who's hyper-careful, he said. We're going to see them coming to judges to resolve their differences. I think we're going to see more cases arise when schools open, depending on what happens next with the virus. Judges, and that's some states, schools aren't even open. Judges have been patient in considering both sides of coronavirus cases, said Nicole Alvarez, who practices family law mainly in Broward and Miami-Dade. The bar is still pretty high for a judge to change time-sharing schedules, she said. From my experience, judges are not going to deviate from agreements for hypothetical reasons. You don't get to say you live in a low-risk area and you don't want to let the child visit Miami or some other area with more cases. Unless someone comes out positive, judges are sticking with the existing agreements. Enoch Ortega says, because I've been hearing a lot of different Christians, not sure if all Pentecostals are having dreams about the end of the USA and the coming Antichrist by November before election. Well, here's what I'd say to you, Enoch. I would say to you that lots of people have lots of visions when they're on drugs. Lots of them have lots of visions when they're full of devils. And lots of them say things that are contrary to the scriptures. But the Bible says that we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you take heed. Peter said that they saw on the Holy Mount, that they saw the transfiguration, that they saw Moses and Elijah, and they saw all those things. But he said, the word of God is more sure word of prophecy. I really don't care what they saw. I care what my Bible says. That's what I care about. And that's what you should care about, what the word of God says. That doesn't mean they're not willing to step in and when they think the child's health might be at risk. Joseph, who moved to North Carolina from Coral Springs at the outset of the pandemic response, drew Judge Cohen's ire by posting a picture of herself maskless in the waiting of her oral surgeon's office in June. She's one of those anti-mask people. She's got the audacity to post that on social media, the judge said. She's going to wear a mask. If she doesn't, time sharing is not going to happen. Cohen's pointed criticism came in an online hearing September 8th and promoted Joseph's attorney, Megan Morrow, to ask him to remove himself from the case, which had dragged on for 13 years. The child at heart of it is 14. Cohen declined. Elena Joseph, formerly of Coral Springs, posted a selfie with the caption, "No mask for this girl," on social media, drawing the ire of the Broward judge handling her custody case. She says she was alone in a doctor's office waiting room in North Carolina where there were no mask requirements at the time. The judge said in-person visits would have to be supervised because he doesn't trust Joseph, 43, to wear a mask. And he would not consider a long-distance parenting plan which outlines each parent's rights when they don't live in the same state between Joseph and her son until the COVID crisis has passed. When this pandemic is over, there's no cases, there's a vaccine, the mother is going to need to get vaccine as well. Wow, really? I don't think you can enforce that. I don't think they can enforce that. The judge's comments raised eyebrows among some right-wing libertarians who blame coronavirus for what they believe is a government abuse of authority. You see them using opinion grounded in science to justify government overreach, said the bishop editor of the Mrs. Institute, a splinter of the Cato Institute. They far overstepped the justified power of their office under the premise that we're in this emergency. Ultimately, the issue of masks never made it into the Cohen's writing ruling issued late last week. He softened the vaccine mandate. After safe and reliable vaccination against COVID is available, the mother may be vaccinated, the child may be vaccinated, thus eliminating that particular danger. Joseph acknowledged in an interview this week that she posted a selfie taken at her oral surgeon's office in June. No mask for this girl. She accused the judge of letting his personal political views cloud the judgment in the case. My case has been in the court system for a number of years, and I have experience with court proceedings. She said what occurred is unconstitutional, should never happen to a parent. The child's father thinks Cohen made the right decision. My client has a legal obligation to protect his son, said Donna Goldman, the father's attorney. This case has been going on for a long time, and the judge weighed more than just COVID. He made the right decision to protect the child's health. Judges are not permitted to discuss their ongoing cases. See? That's what happened. And it's going to happen again. Why is that? Because they're using this. That's what liberals do. They use things like that to their advantage. They use it to press down on people. That's what they do. Let's see what this is here. Here we find the DOJ backs Capitol Hill Baptist. in Washington, D.C. The Department of Justice is backing Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. in its lawsuit against Mayor Muriel Bowser for unfairly applying a ban on outdoor church services of more than 100 people. The department said it filed a statement of interest in support of the 850-member church, which filed a complaint in federal court last week, arguing that the city had violated the First and Fifth Amendments and the U.S. Constitution of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. The DOJ argued that the Constitution and federal law requires the District of Columbia to accommodate Capitol Hill Baptist Church's effort to hold worship services outdoors. To the same extent, the District of Columbia allows other forms of outdoor. See, here's the thing. Here's the confusion. They're letting huge groups of people outside to exercise their First Amendment's right, the First Amendment rights, outside. And they're not doing the same for churches that want to do the same thing. But BLM, Black Lives Matter, can have their religious protest outside. Because they admitted that BLM is a religion. It's satanic. They call on spirits. They invoke spirits. They said they did. That's what they do. BLM said, we invoke spirits. Go back and look at my broadcast. I covered it a couple times. The right to free exercise of religion and the right to protest are both enshrined in the First Amendment. Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division said, we are a nation dedicated to freedom of conscience and freedom of expression. The District of Columbia has unfortunately neglected these rights. The Justice Department is committed to defending both of these fundamental freedoms. According to Church's lawsuit, the city is prohibiting worship gatherings over 100 people at 50% of building capacity, whichever is fewer. Even if held outdoors, and even if worshipers wear masks and practice appropriate social distancing, which I wouldn't. I would not do. Justin Salk, a pastor at CHBC, stressed earlier, a church is not a building that can be opened and closed. A church is not an event to be watched. A church is a community that gathers regularly in community, and that community should be treated fairly by the District of Columbia. So there you go. Interesting, isn't it? You don't see him standing there stopping BLM, do you? Of course not. They're not going to stop BLM. No way. And of course, the governor of Michigan got smacked down. She got smacked down by the U.S. Supreme Court, or the Michigan Supreme Court, that ruled that she has no authority under either of the state's emergency statutes to continue the coronavirus state of emergency. The Michigan Supreme Court ruled in question related to federal case on Friday. Two laws, the Emergency Management Act from 1976 and of 1945, neither the court found gave Governor Gretchen Whitmer the authority to continue declaring states of emergency or issuing unilateral orders under them past April 30th, when her initial declaration would have expired. Well, nobody's stopping the governor of Minnesota, though. Let's see. right here we find Minnesota Governor Tim Walz extends state of emergency for coronavirus response. Governor Tim Walz said Wednesday that he plans to extend the use of his emergency powers to respond to the coronavirus pandemic, triggering yet another special session. The announcement of another 30-day extension will bring about the fifth special session of the legislature since the regular session adjourned in late May. The COVID-19 virus is unpredictable, as we have seen over the past few weeks. It continues to devastate our communities, Walz said in a statement. It is imperative that we have the tools necessary to respond to this public health emergency and to protect the health and well-being. So basically, he's acting like a little dictator, and he is doing what he wants. So if I was the Republicans, I would do the same thing. I would stop him. I wouldn't pass any bills. I wouldn't pass anything. I'd just let him sit and stew over it. And why is that? Because he's never going to stop his ruling and reigning. He's not gonna. So that's just what he's going to do. But there was we found out there was an attack in Michigan, or not an attack, a supposed kidnapping that was going to take place between like 12 people that were going to kidnap the governor of Michigan. They weren't too happy with her, and this militia group, it is stated they were going to attack, or they were going to kidnap her. So obviously we don't condone that behavior. And she's a witch and a half, but we don't condone harming anyone or kidnapping anyone or anything like that. It does sound kind of staged. It absolutely does. I would agree with you that that sounds, and what happens is the FBI works together with these groups, and they work together with them to kind of infiltrate a group, lead them and encourage them to, it's a psyop. They lead them, they radicalize them from the inside, get them to commit to things, and then right before they do it, they arrest them. And they say, look who we found. Right? That's what they do. By the way, further proof that BLM is a religious organization. Black Lives Matter is profoundly theological. Statement Hillary Clinton tells pastor. So she's admitting to it that, yeah, of course they're theological. Right? Of course it is. That's the nature of all these things. All this confusion and all the things that are going on, that's the nature of them. They're spiritual. Right? These things are spiritual. She knows because she's a witch. That's right. She knows very well how it all works. Because she is a witch. All right. You know, here's something that was said in Christianity Today. And I'm going to finish up with this probably. But coronavirus church closures are not persecution. So what he's saying is, you can't call that, because I've been a missionary on the foreign field, and I've seen persecution. Well, listen, persecution has different degrees. they have different degrees. So, persecution here may not be what it is over in Rome, or what it is over in a third world country. But that's how it starts. The degree of persecution is different. This is how it starts. It starts by you giving up your right to assemble. God-given right to assemble. It starts by government making laws prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It starts by those things. And then from that, it gets worse. When you take away the First Amendment, then you don't have the Second Amendment. When you take away the Second Amendment, you can't defend the First Amendment. See how that works? This guy says, during my time at the State Department under both Obama and Trump administrations, we helped carry this out, preaching the values of religious liberty as a social good, as well as confronting persecutors. The U.S. is the foremost advocate internationally. Full stop. Persecuted people of all faiths pray for our intervention and desire to flee to our shores. With this pandemic, it's been unsettling for Americans to see local and state government direct the closure of churches, as well as synagogues and mosques and temples, for health reasons. It's not something most of us have experienced before. However, I know many churches have found innovative new ways to gather virtually or outdoors. My church is no exception. It's better than nothing, and we benefit from our communities of faith during these challenging times. While the temporary closings are jarring for Americans, foreign governments permanently shut down places of worship all the time. Persecution levels are at all-time heights worldwide. Consequently, Christians of every denomination, people of other traditions, and individuals practicing no faith face persecution every day for what they believe. In my diplomatic work, I've seen churches shuttered and worship criminalized. My bookshelves hold pieces of churches and mosques and synagogues torn down by authoritarian governments. Well, I saw that happen to Greg Dixon's. So it did happen in America. First, I believe Americans, he says, Christians should be wise to avoid labeling current situations as persecution for three reasons. First, a significant difference is motive. From my observation, most state and local church officials are searching in good faith for the least bad options. Yeah, right. For sure, there are some anti-religion, anti-Christian agenda. I've been seeing frustrating decisions that appear inconsistent. Most public servants are trying to do their level best to balance civil rights. Yeah, right. Second, a difference is duration. When churches are closed for health reasons, the move is temporary until conditions improve. Right. I've seen officials encourage worship online. Yeah, because the strength of the church is when they meet together. Third, the most importantly, the biggest difference is that persecution is brutal and violent. Persecution is the imprisoning of Christians. Really? Because they said we would obey. When Peter just wanted to preach the gospel, they said they tried to stop him from preaching it. In person. Persecution is sudden closing or commando-like police raids. You mean like what the governor of New York said he was going to do? You mean like they did to Greg Dixon's church when Greg Dixon was alive years ago, when the Bush administration had the Department of Justice come in there and infiltrate the church and close it down? Persecution is bulldozing churches to the ground. That's happened. Persecution is when ISIS attempted genocide against the Azeris, and the Christians are the genocide of the army of Burma. Well, hang on. We haven't got there yet. But when you give an inch, they take a mile. Persecution is the murder of Christians for their faith. Persecution is public flogging in Saudi Arabia for merely questioning on the internet. It's kidnapping, forced conversion, and rape of Hindu and Christian girls. Based on these examples, American Christians should be very careful about labeling our current situation as persecution. So wait till it's that. Wait till it gets to that level, and then you can complain. Don't do anything when they start trampling and stopping the church from meeting and hindering the church and breaking up their meetings. Wait till it gets to that point, then you can call it persecution. Yeah, that's the subtlety of Satan. This person speaks with a forked tongue. That person speaks with a pork tongue. Ha, a forked tongue. All right, everybody. I'm going to get out of here. I'll give you a chance to say hi before I get out of here.
Come over hill and plain. There comes a thing you'll strain. 'Tis loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. Music rolls along, the hills take up the song of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Come to victory, rise our great commander, on. We'll move at his command, we'll soon possess the land, through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Come join our loyal throng, we'll rub the giant wrong. 'Tis loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. Where Satan's banners float, we'll send the bugle note of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Come to victory, prize our great commander, we'll soon possess the land through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. The strength of youth we lay and see the speed today. It's loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. His gospel we'll proclaim throughout the world's domain of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. On to victory, cries our great commander, possess the land through loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Loyalty to Christ.
Amen. That's right. Loyalty, 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 loyalty to Christ. That's where we're at. That's where we ought to be. That's the goal of our lives. That's what God wants us to do. Is to be loyal. Amen? Loyal to Christ, first and foremost. Well, anyway, God bless you all. I hope you have a good weekend. I'll be busy putting together some sermons and some other things and all that fun stuff. If you want to check out our sermons, you can go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley or to YouTube, whichever platform you'd like. If you would like to support our ministry, pray for us, number one. Pray for us. Number two, you could send a gift to salvationpreacher@gmail.com, our PayPal address. You could send it through there. Or you can mail us something to our church address, which is down here at the bottom of our sermon audio page. All right? So you know, we appreciate that. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate you watching, and hopefully it's a blessing to you and to others who need it out there. You know, share these broadcasts with others that are in need of the truth. Amen. Anyhow, we will talk to you on Monday, Lord willing. Have a good weekend.